Please pray for me, saints. We'd like to speak a little bit about hardness of heart. With the Lord's help, the Lord's inspiration. Ezekiel 11:17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So thankful for what the Lord wants to give us. Jesus prayed that we would be united, that we would be one as the Father and the Son are one. He wants to give us one heart as a whole, as the body of Christ. He wants to put a new spirit within us. And we're thankful that he's given to some of us that one heart. He's given to some of us that new spirit. But there are some here that are not united with the Church of God. You're not yet a one spirit. You're not yet, you yet might not have the Holy Spirit in you. And you might yet have a stony heart. And the Lord wants to speak to you tonight. I don't know if you've ever been around when a project of concrete a slab is being poured out. My dad often would pour concrete slabs, and throughout my youth, we helped build convention grounds and pour concrete slabs, and hundreds of us men, sometimes 80 of us, will be doing the shovels and leveling out the concrete, and somebody would come out and level it out. And when I was growing up, my dad would use a broom and make little pretty designs on it when you get done with it. And sometimes we put our footprint or our handprint in there. But once it was hard, you couldn't alter it. When it was soft, you could still imprint on it, your fingerprint. And sometimes a cat would come walking by, or a dog, and permanently leave those imprints on the concrete. And tonight, the Lord wants to tell us that if we're hardened against the ministers of God, hardened against the Word of God, hardened against our parents, hardened against the law, hardened against everybody. That's how we can get that way, just hardened, bitter and hardened, that we're going to stay that way. We're going to remain that way, and the Lord's not going to be able to work with us. And, oh, I plead with your heart tonight. I plead with you tonight. Stop hardening your heart. Yes. I know we can't change our own heart from hard to soft, but we can come before the Lord and say, Lord, take out the stony heart and give you give me, Lord, oh, have mercy, and give me a soft heart. It's not about us transforming ourselves. It's not about us making ourselves better people, but asking the Lord, give me. He's the one that will give us. And I will give them an heart of flesh. And I will take the stony heart out. Do you want your stony heart taken out tonight? Are you tired of being bitter and hard, rebellious, stiff-necked? Ask him tonight, and he will take away the stony heart, and he will give you a soft heart. Amen? Amen. This is quoted again in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Praise the Lord. I don't know if any of you have been to Hollywood. In my worldly days, I watched TV from morning to evening. I read People magazine. Talks about the stars. And I always wanted to go to Hollywood and walk down, I don't know if it's called Hollywood Boulevard, maybe, I forget what it's called, but It's an area where you walk down, and Elvis Presley and all of the movie stars that I loved growing up have their handprints or their signature on a concrete slab. And by their imprintation, by them imprinting their handprint or their footprint or their signature, an ordinary piece of concrete slab that's worth not much money, a bag of concrete doesn't cost that much, becomes valuable, thousands and maybe billions of dollars worth, just because of that signature, imprint. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, in and of ourselves, God sees the value. Scripture tells us that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we're valued to him, but we become more valuable to him. We become more valuable to the church, to the world, when he writes his law, his will, his purpose upon our heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Without him, we're just ordinary people with a valuable soul. Oh, but when he writes his name on our heart, and he writes his laws upon our hearts, it does transform us. We are an asset to the church of God then. Amen? We're an asset to the Lord. Now he can use us. Oh, I will put my laws into their mind, and I'll write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Are we willing to say, Lord, give me soft heart? Take out the stony heart. I want you to write all of your will upon my heart. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews 3, 7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today. Are you listening? If you have a hardened heart, are you listening? Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not when you're 30, not when you're 50. You might not reach that age. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Speaking about the children of Israel that he sent Moses and Aaron to deliver out of Egypt. They saw miracle upon miracle. We all, those of us that have been in the church of God for years, been saved, we know what this is. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err. They err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. And so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren. Take heed, brethren, and take heed, you that have a hard heart. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of riches. Very simple illustration. We've all seen it. That's why mousetraps sell. Now they sell these glued mousetraps. And we just rented the third Church of God chapel in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. A new place that we're renting now. And I noticed little mouse droppings, and I don't like that. So I bought two big glue mouse traps. And sure, I put them one night, and I said, I want to make it more tempting. I put a big piece of white cheese in the middle. It already has bait, but I stuck another piece in the middle of this big mouse trap. And the next day we came, lo and behold, there were two mice in there, caught and already dead. Deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of sin. Deceitfulness of a lustful flesh. It will harden our hearts. You know, there were two mice caught in there. One went in there and got stuck. I'm sure maybe the mice have some kind of reasoning. Maybe you heard them squeaking, but he was deceived into thinking that, well, the other one didn't get it, but I can get it. I can go through there. I won't get stuck, and I'll get it. I don't know if that's what they thought, but maybe he did. Oh, my brother got caught, but I won't. I'll be really quick about it and get in there, and he got stuck too. Amen? We might see all around us. You know, I saw my dad growing up being a drunkard and yet having a job, being a successful drug dealer. And I saw it and I said, I don't want that by the grace of God. I wasn't deceived by that. But my brother Johnny, he did grow up selling drugs with my dad. My brother Johnny did fall for that delicious smelling cheese or whatever it is to you that's tempting. And he walked across that trap. And he was deceived. You know, the deceitfulness of sin. Sin looks appealing. It looks good. It looks wonderful. And you know, sin is pleasurable, but it's short-lived. It's for a little while. And often, from one second to the other, there's consequences attached. You could be in jail the next day, in prison, or the jealous husband could come and kill you that moment. Immediate consequences sometimes. Sometimes it could take a while before you've murdered that person, before they might find out 10 years later and then put you in prison. It might be a while, but you have to live with your guilty conscience all that time. There's an immediate consequence for a sin, one way or the other. Do we understand what I'm saying? So, we can be hardened through the deceitfulness of riches can harden us into thinking that we're going to get away with it. That nobody's going to find out, that there'll be no consequences. It's deceitfulness of riches. And it'll harden us, it'll harden a soft conscience into a seared conscience. And we won't be able to feel tender or afraid or fearful or concerned about displeasing God. Because we're hardened. Do we understand what we're saying tonight? There was once a woman that had parked her car in one of those tiered level parking lots, and it was dark, and she got in her car. She drove down, and there was a car that was following her, a big 16-wheeler down truck. And she got in the interstate, and this truck was still following her in the interstate. And all of a sudden, she sees some lights blinking and a horn honking. The guy in the 18-wheeler was honking at her. And so she said, oh, he wants for me to get out of this lane. So she got out of the lane, and she was thinking that he was going to pass her. And then he got behind her again and started honking again and shining the lights, the bright lights, on and off, on and off. And she said, wow, he's so rude. And so she sped up a little bit, and he sped up some more. And, oh, he's mad at me. What did I do? So she sped up some more, and he sped up some more and was honking and flashing the lights. And she said, oh, no, he's trying to do something to me. He's going to hit me. So she kept on speaking. Finally, she lost control and ended up in a ditch on the side of the road, and the truck, vroom, the trucker parked right behind her. And he ran out of the truck. He said, oh, he's going to hurt me. He's going to hurt me. She was getting really upset and angry at this man. And he opened the back door of her car, stuck in his arm, and grabbed a man holding a knife and knocked him down to the ground, took away the knife from him. Today, if we will hear his voice, we can get a little bitter and upset with the ministry. We hear the same message over and over again that might be touching the exact same spot again. Our parents that are telling us, don't do that, don't go there. Do you understand what we're saying tonight? Amen? And we can get hardened to that. Oh, I've heard it over and over and over. I'm tired of hearing it. And we might look at them as the enemy, the ones that are trying to hurt us. The ones that are trying to keep us from having fun, enjoying life, and doing what we want to do. But we don't realize that God has sent the Holy Spirit and is speaking to us through them and warning us. Because there's Satan with his spiritual dagger ready to kill you. The devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Harden not your heart against that voice of the Holy Spirit tonight. Yes. I am sure and I know that if you're not saved tonight, or if you've committed something that is a transgression to the Lord, that he's speaking to you in this meeting. Maybe we'll be speaking to you tonight. Harden not your heart. Harden, if you will hear his voice today, harden not your heart. Yep. Amen? Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says about Jesus, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Here were men, scribes and Pharisees, here in this case, I believe it was the Pharisees, that they were against Jesus. They saw him becoming more and more popular with the people. They saw that people were after him, seeking his help. Basically jealousy, envy. And Jesus just came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to save the sick. But you know, the devil will use others to try to hinder us from doing his work. They'll be so concerned about you not being popular or you not being accepted, and they'll stomp all over you so that they can be noticed, so that they can be the ones to be honored. But you know, Jesus wasn't looking for honor of men. He wasn't looking for popularity. He loves our souls, and he came to save our souls. And notice what it says, that he was grieved. Being grieved for the hardness of their heart, and he was angry with it. Well, may we comprehend the work of God. May we not hinder the work of God. May it be our desire to see souls saved. May we cooperate. May we be concerned for lost souls. May we not have to see Jesus getting angered with us and grieved because of the hardness of our hearts. Sometimes we can be focused on so much on what is right and what isn't right that we can begin to have a condemning spirit, a self-righteous spirit, and forget that the whole point is what? That God so loved the world. Amen. That we could be saved. Yes. Amen. And he'll go to an extent to save that soul. Are you willing to go to that extent? May the Lord help us. Our hardness of heart can grieve the heart of Jesus. If we are hard tonight, we're grieving the heart of Jesus. And I don't want to grieve the heart of Jesus. I want to remain soft to his will. If he asks me to work with so-and-so and call them and pray for them and forgive them 1,000 times as we work with them in our missionary work, may the Lord help me to remain soft. May he not be grieved because I'm hard and I don't get the point that he's trying to save that soul. And he's trying to do everything to save them and forgive them and show them mercy upon mercy and compassion upon compassion. I sometimes go, this is the last straw, Lord. I forgave them already 10 times and they keep on doing it. This is it, Lord, I've had it. And then they'll call me, Tony, we're sorry. We know we failed. We miss you. You come visit us. I go, oh, help me, Lord. And the Lord softens my heart by their words. We're sorry. We know we're not doing right. Will you give us another chance? What do we do, saints? We give them another chance. And another chance. And another chance. Because we don't want to have a hard heart. Amen? Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Mark 8, 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart hardened? A hardened heart will keep us from growing. A hardened heart will keep us from receiving more spiritual understanding. A hardened heart will cause us to misunderstand the message spoken. We'll take it the wrong way and become offended and leave. A soft heart will get the point. Say, Lord, help me. I want to accept this. Amen? Are you misunderstanding the message tonight? Is your hard heart? Lord, give me a soft heart. Having eyes, see ye not, said Jesus. And having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not yet remember? And he told them about the 5 loaves and how they were multiplied, etc. Anyway, he was speaking to them about the leaven. I believe it was, I'm not sure which leaven, but it was the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees, I think it was together, which is hypocrisy. Amen? Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. May the Lord help us. If we harden our heart when Jesus speaks to us, we're not going to get it. So that's why it's important to come down to the altar. And as we heard last night, it doesn't have to be this altar. It could be at your house. It could be in your car. But I encourage you to come right here to this altar for the purpose that it should be right now. You could leave this parking lot and go out, be hit by a car, and die. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Amen? Amen? Hardness of heart will keep us from getting the point of salvation, getting the point of eternal life. We'll miss it if we have a hard heart. Do you have a hard heart? Oh, stop having a hard heart. Won't you let the Lord soften it? Won't you let the Lord take out the stony heart? Please let him take out the stony heart. You won't regret it. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. If there be, this is the law, and if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor neighbor, brother. Verse 8. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Amen? What will keep us from being generous? What will keep us from helping the poor in order to win their hearts and to prepare the ground so that they will listen to the gospel? Hardness of heart. Are we supporting the mission, our missions, saints? I know most of you are. Do you say, oh, somebody else will do it, or somebody else is doing it? How do you know they are? Harden not your heart. In Ciudad Mexico, we have a lot of people that are poor, and they come to us and often wonder, are they just coming because they heard from this other person that we helped them pay their rent, or we helped them, they use gas tanks, because they don't have gas connected, and because I filled up the other tank with $20, and they heard, and is that what they're coming for? And it's easy to harden my heart and say, they're just like those disciples, that multitude that followed Jesus for the loaves and fishes, and we might be getting it wrong, really, because they may be coming for that, but the Lord could use that $20 full tank of gas to win their souls. They might have come for the $20 tank of gas, but they may leave in a few weeks or months with a soft heart, a new heart. Are we hardening the heart? Even among our brethren. Oh, that lazy bum, he could be working, and I'm not going to loan him the money. Well, how do you know that brother is having a tough time? And if you loan him that money, you might just endear his heart to you and just bring them up to a higher level in the Lord. Amen? Sometimes, oh no, I've loaned money before and I've been burned. Are you willing to be burned again? Harden not your heart. Take the chance. Take the risk. It's not my doctrine. It's the Bible. Thou shalt not harden thine heart. Oh, the gospel isn't about helping the poor. Oh, it isn't. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. It is. Yes. We heard about it in the service. And we heard the brother telling us, Brother Dan Doolittle, that they were going to be judged for not clothing the naked, amen, feeding the poor, visiting the prisoners, visiting the sick. We're not saved by works, but Jesus will take that into account. Harden not your hearts. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. I love these verses, and I'm sure all of us here as ministers and as saints, we love these verses also. Jeremiah 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Verse 4. And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. We're in verse 5 of Isaiah 18. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Growing up, I loved artwork, and I worked with clay, and you'd get the clay. This one came bagged, but you still had to pound it. I don't remember how many times, maybe it was 100 times to get the air out. Bang, 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 bang. Or it sometimes has to bang us a little bit to take away the hardness of heart, illnesses and accidents and trouble, to get out that air, that pride out of us. Because if that air remains there, that pride, it'll burst when it's being, when it goes to the fire. Amen? And then knead it a little bit and put it on the wheel. You hit it hard like that so it gets stuck on the wheel. And then you start, it's either electrical or foot. When it starts turning, you put water in your hand and you start molding it. You put one hand inside and one hand on the outside. And you can make it tall or you can make it wide, and you can design it however you want. Do you feel hopeless tonight? Do you feel that you're not saint material? You don't have to be. Just come to the Lord. He'll give you a soft heart, and he'll put one hand inside and one hand outside, and he'll make you into a vessel unto his honor and unto his glory and unto his praise. There was one time a group of people that visited a real potter's house, and they were given a tour through it, and they came to a place where there was a real potter working in the clay. He had one hand inside, one hand on the outside, and working. And they would go, oh, what beautiful. And all of a sudden, he took his hand out, and he goes like that. They go, what happened? He goes, ow, there was something sharp, and it hurt my hand. And he had to remove his hand. Hardness of heart will cause God to remove his hand. And he will stop working. Will impede his progress in that specific area in our life where we need to progress. Oh, may the Lord help us to say, oh, Lord, I don't want that hard spot, that sharp spot that hurts you. Remove it, Lord. Harden down your heart. Oh, let us remain soft so that he can mold us and make us. Have you seen children playing with Play-Doh? We often buy Play-Doh to the kids in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. They just love it. Most of them have never had it. They're so poor. Nobody, they don't even know what Play-Doh is until you give it to them. And we show them what to do. They just love it. They're making little animals and flowers. But we tell them, be sure to put it back in the can when you get done, because you'll get hard and you can't change it anymore. And so lo and behold, many of them do leave it outside and it gets hard. And they, I can't do anything with it. I said, we'll get you some more, but put it back in the can. It has to be kept soft. We have to remain in God's will. If we don't remain in God's will, that seems like a little constraining place for us, because sometimes we want to go there and do this, and we have our plans and we have our will, but let us be in God's will. We'll keep soft there. We'll keep pliable there, and he'll be able to mold us. If we get hard and get outside of God's will, we'll get hardened through the deceitfulness of riches, and he won't be able to continue that call that he had for us to fulfill that specific place in the ministry or in the church of God or in our family or in our workplace. It'll impede it. It'll stop it. Let us keep our hearts soft, saints. Proverbs 29, verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, that'd be horrible. Wouldn't that be horrible, saints? To know you can't change, no matter how hard you try, there's no more remedy for you. Because you've been given instruction upon instruction and you didn't take it. None of us like Job like to be misunderstood and for others to try to correct us in the wrong way. Job was going through a lot and they accused him of this and of that. We've heard of some of that in this meeting. We're not talking about that. Amen. We don't want to put anybody in a guilt trip. Sometimes people do misjudge us and they try to correct us in things that really don't need to be corrected. And sometimes we might yield to not cause trouble, but really that might not be the main issue. But there are things that really do need to be corrected in our lives. Things that are, we're off balance. We have too much of a harsh spirit or too much of a lenient spirit with our kids. Either way, can do damage. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, I don't want to preach the whole doctrine because I'll offend the congregation. You better preach the whole doctrine. You as a minister is going to be held responsible for not preaching the whole doctrine. Amen? Amen. You're going to give account for not preaching the whole doctrine. Yeah. So as the Holy Spirit moves you to preach on something, and it's hard, say, Lord, like I did, Lord, help me. This is a tough one. Help me because this is a tough one. And he gives me the grace to do it. We don't have to present it in the harshest, meanest way. Lord, it can help us how to present it in a more palatable way, spiritual palatable way. Amen? He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So that in Mexico, we've had this happen often. We had one young man, I'll just tell one story because there's so many, that he'd argue with me. He was like leaning towards the Jews and the doctrine of the Jews and I guess wanting to be a Jew. And he'd argue with me on that point that the real Jews are still going to be saved. They say, excuse me, no, we're the spiritual Jews. The Jews have been forsaken and cut off, I tell him. It says it in Romans. No. God says that he'd never forsake them nor leave them. I said, well, yeah, well, they were in his will, but when they forsook him, they forsook him. But he's keeping that promise of not forsaking him through the spiritual Jews. We are the seed of Abraham, and we're the spiritual Jews today. No. And he argued with me on this point and that point. And he would soften his heart a little bit and then argue. And then finally, after 8 months, he and his wife attended the services and were growing and just doing wonderfully. And then they left us. And not long after that, he got involved with drugs and made a mess of his life. And one day he and his wife were going to a certain place and she felt she shouldn't go. She went home and he went and he never returned home. She went to find him and found him in his little car dead. These drug people had killed him. And I think if he had just listened and stayed in Juarez and not gone away mad and thinking he knew it all, he would still be alive. He might be very useful to us in the congregation right now, but he was left without remedy. Let us not harden our hearts, saints. Matthew 18:32. Well, let's start. The verses that I want to cover by the help of the Lord are Matthew 18:23-35, but we're not going to read them all for the sake of time. We all know that the parable of Jesus, there was a certain king. There was one that owed him 10,000 talents. I looked this up, and there's a different point of view. Some said that these 10,000 talents. Some said they were $3.48 billion, some $7.04 billion, some $11.9 billion. Anyway, it was billions of dollars that this man owed in today's money. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. these billions of dollars. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. It says that the Lord had compassion upon him and forgave him the debt. But then it says that that same servant went out and found somebody that owed him much less money, which in today's money, 100 pence would be, some say, $11,733. Still a lot of money, but it was much less than billions of dollars. And he took that man that, after he was forgiven of the debt, totally forgiven of that debt, he went to somebody else that owed him less money and grabbed him by the throat and said, pay me that thou owest. Amen. And he would not, it says in verse 30. Verse 32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Verse 34, we're in Matthew 18:34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye, from your hearts, forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Why would this man cry out to be forgiven, and then turn around to someone that had done something less to him, and then not forgive? What would cause that, saints? Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. How can we stand up and give a testimony of how the Lord has forgiven us or spared us from this and that, and then our brother does something that is very easy to forgive or maybe very hard to forgive, but not like our heavy load of sins that God forgave, and not want to forgive? In the beginning, it might be easy to forgive, but as we get hardened, it gets harder to forgive. It gets harder to forgive if we're hard. If we're soft, if we continually remember and don't forget how the Lord shows his mercy and compassion and forgiveness, and how he sent his Son to die for us, and how that on the cross Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, after all the horrible things that they did to him. The scribes and Pharisees continually finding fault with him and wanting to kill him, and the priest being jealous of him, and for envy delivering him to the cross, and then he was tried unfairly, and they brought out false witnesses, and then they whipped him and scourged him until he was unrecognizable, and then they nailed him to the cross, and yet he could say, Father, forgive them. And sometimes we find it hard in our hearts to say, Father, scorch them. Punish them. Because we're hard. Ah, I've had it. They've done it so many times. I can't stand them. I can't stand the way they say that or do that. I've had it. Do we say that? Sometimes there could be thoughts like that in our mind, right? Say, Lord, soften my heart. Oh, Lord, keep my heart soft. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. We don't want to be delivered to the tormentors, eternal hell. Oh, Lord, spare us from that. Be merciful to us, Lord. Help us to be forgiven. Amen? To have a forgiving heart. We jumped ahead of a place there. Let's go to, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I think I have misplaced the place. Praise the Lord. Find it. I'm looking for the place. There's several places in Mark and in Matthew where Jesus told his disciples that Moses allowed divorce. It was not the way in the beginning, but he allowed it because of the hardness of heart. And then he goes on to say that whichever man or woman that putteth away his wife. Matthew 19. Thank the Lord. Matthew 19, verse 8. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. From this we gather, we know why there's so many divorce courts. Why is it, brothers? Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Oh, you fall in love with her, you fall in love with him, you buy her roses, you buy him what he wants, and you say sweet things to him, and she says sweet things to her, and they get married, and a few things happen, and she says this, and he says that, and it's hard to receive, and I don't want it that way, and I want it this way, and pretty soon, what starts to happen? Hardness of heart. And I believe that's, we that are married sometimes are tried the most difficult. I'm thankful in my marriage we're settled, have it settled. But Satan sometimes brings in something to try to harden our heart. And it might get temporarily harder for a few minutes, sometimes for a few hours, amen? If you don't have it settled, then I'm not going to let my heart be settled, hardened. Do you have it settled? Or do you say, they're wrong and they're going to pay for it, I'm not going to speak to them, I'm not cooking. Amen? Oh, let us not harden our heart, because if we keep on letting that heart get harder and harder, pretty soon we're not speaking to one another for months. Pretty soon we're just cohabitating. And pretty soon we wonder, why did we ever marry this person? I don't even know who they are. And pretty soon someone at the office shows you attention and is sweet and kind to you and bats her eyes and tells you, oh, I love the way you say that. You're such a gentleman. And pretty soon she starts looking a little bit attractive. And anyway, that old hag at home, I'm tired of her. And you're hardened. And the hardness of heart will lead you to do something, and can, that you'll regret for the rest of your life. So why are there divorce courts? It's right here, hardness of heart. This might seem like a very simple message, but it's a very important matter in our lives. Oh, don't harden your heart against your husband and wife. Don't harden your heart against your children. Yes. One day they'll grow up and be gone. And if you harden your heart and they leave mad and you never speak to them, and they have your grandkids, you'll never be able to visit them. You'll not be able to influence your grandkids because you sent away your kids and you were so bitter against them and so hard, and now you can't even speak to your grandkids. You have no say into, you can't speak truth into them. Oh, the hardness of heart can bring heartache and pain. Let us not harden our heart towards our husband or wife. Let us tonight come to the altar and say, Lord, I need help. Yes. Honey, let's go to the altar. We need help. Right. Oh, help us, Lord, to forgive. In my years of counseling marriages, once they were willing to come to the point of forgiveness, tears came and they were hugging each other. Oh, I'm so sorry. And it all ended. By softening their heart, the Lord was able to save the marriage, reconcile the marriage. Soften your heart. Say, Lord, take out the stony heart. Give me a soft heart. And by the way, it says right there, just to cover one more point, that whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery. I'd just like to cover that point. Just one verse. There's so many, but I don't want to leave it hanging there. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Just in case the devil tells you, I'll leave her and I'll marry another. I'll leave him and I'll marry another. You'll answer for that on the judgment day. Because it's very clear right here what it says. It says fornication, not adultery. That was the contract that was done before marriage. Kind of like what Joseph was going to put away Mary. It says not adultery, it says for fornication. If it would say for adultery, we'd know that the wife committed adultery. Adultery is between two married people, right? Fornication is before you're married. And Joseph was concerned that Mary had committed fornication out of wedlock and was going to put her away privately. That's what he's speaking about here. I'm sure all of us saints agree with that. Amen. But it says right here in Romans 7, verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound. Everybody say bound. Husband and wife say bound. You're bound to him. You're bound to her. You're bound. By law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed. Say loosed. You're not loosed until she croaks. You're tied to her and you better love her. Amen? But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called what? An adulteress. And what did Jesus say? That adulterers and fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't be in the family of God any longer, the kingdom of God here on earth, though they may claim to be. And they will not definitely enter heaven. Amen? But if her husband be dead, she is free. Say free. From the law, that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. The devil will come to us and say, well, I should have married so-and-so. Has he brought that thought to your mind? In the moment when you're upset, you have no way out. You know, when I think of even the thought that my wife could die, I cry. I would be very sad if I lost my wife. I love my wife. Do you love your wife? Do you cherish her? Even when she's gets a little feisty. We have a cat named Felina. When she gets upset with her brother, Copito, she goes, he scratches his face and goes on. Do you love her when she goes? We need to love her at that time too. Maybe we need to love her more then. Give her the time, the space to get over that, and then go say, honey, I love you. Is everything okay? What did I do this time? Amen? So, oh, forgive me, honey. Amen? May the Lord help us to have a soft heart. Praise the Lord.